Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Ian Safar with you currently. Parker Kelly in some traffic. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is a TD Thursday. We've got TD with us for the full show. TD, what's going on?
Hey, man, life is good, man. You know what happened this morning?
What happened?
I opened two presents.
Wow.
My left eye and my right eye. You know, this is the thing, right? When it's a rainy day like this, people tend to be down.
Yeah.
And people tend to not have good vibes. So it's one of those days, one of those mornings where you get up, you get a nice workout in, you listen to some good music, and you just feel good. And you got to make an effort to have good vibes. You know what I mean? Do things to cultivate good vibes.
And I love it.
That's what I've done this morning. And we got Ian back there. We got you over here. We got Parker on the way. Hey, this is what we do.
Parker, you know there's no way that he's going to miss a chance to play some music on a TD Thursday.
Yeah,
so he will be here.
We're going to fine him, though. His fine. And his fine. We're not going to charge him money. We're just going to charge him push-ups. So he need to give us 20 push-ups.
There we go. Yeah. When he gets in, Parker, between these
he's
first
break.
Oh, he's
I
here?
I saw him walk in. That's
I didn't see him walk in. All right.
20 push-ups, Parker. This is what we're going to do. 20 push-ups.
Hey, that's
we're going to video it.
He's ready.
And
in his power team polo.
TD's going to put it out there on Twitter.
Right.
Last night, I was up there in Bowling Green, Vandy Women's Basketball, 87-49 win over Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
Michaela Blake's dropped 30 for the first time this season.
Hey, man, that's a female. And I'm going to call her female Jordan. We'll call her not female Ja. Help me out.
There's not – I'm trying to think of a good comparison because she is just a three-level scorer. Like, I don't want to say Jordan, but like
Stephanie Curry.
There
you know what I mean?
Because
she'll range
and she's got the range.
Still scooping? Like, she scoops a lot.
Okay.
I see
like
that shot get blocked, but she has a way of finding to the basket. Yeah, Stephanie Curry.
That is one of the more impressive parts of her game is she'll go in there among the trees, like 6'4", 6'5", and she still has, like, the body control to get it up and over them. So, she had 23 at halftime last night. I thought we might be on she had 14 in the first quarter. I thought we might be on record watch again.
Yeah.
She hit 5 threes, 30 points. Big day for her. 6 steals, too.
When's the next home game?
Home game tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. We have an education day game.
That's right. Is there Saturday? Is there a game home?
Sunday. So you won't be able to do that. It's a noon game on Sunday. And for any Vandy Women's basketball fans out there, time being moved up, I believe. Not official yet. But
hey, man, Nashville, you got a superstar.
Next home game after
support.
You've got a chance to come out, I think. It's Virginia, ACC, SEC Challenge.
I'm in the
it's a Wednesday, so that one should be fun. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, when TD is in, your chance to talk to TD coming up at 10 a.m. so you can get those questions in. TD, Sunday, Titans lose 16-13.
Yeah.
There was some good there at the end. Titans go down the field. They tie it up 13-all, but you give up a 3rd-and-16 conversion on the final drive. Texans able to knock through the game-winning field goal and get the win. What were your thoughts coming out of that game where it was a slog most of the game, kind of similar to the first game where it was 6-0, Texans and Titans heading into the fourth quarter, just not a lot of offense. But you did see flashes down the stretch from Cam and some of the players on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you saw flashes down the stretch from some of the guys. And I think, you know, when you look at this – There is some positive that you could pull from this. And ironically, strangely, the positive that you could pull from this is in regards to the coaching staff. And how dare I say that? But I will say this. The ability to adjust. Now, this is a team that uses 11 personnel 78% of the time. We're talking about three receivers.
Yeah.
Right? They basically had three receivers left, that was it.
They had two at one point when Alec was in
he was in the tent. And so they had to shift, and they worked a lot of the same concepts out of 12 personnel. And the ability to do that, I respect it. I'm not going to say, hey, you know, let's get up and give a round of applause, but I respect it, right? And the ability to have guys like Chig Okonkwo, Nick Holt said it, Chig – like they never worked that concept live before.
Right.
They were very fortunate because there were some things that happened that shouldn't have happened, and Cam and Chig were able to connect regardless in that 39-yard pass, right, 38-yard pass to set up the touchdown. But then you also look at Mason Kinsey being in a spot where he had never run that route before. I know there's been a lot of discourse about that.
Yeah.
To me, looking at that, he had a man defense kind of beater. Like, when you look inside and you try to – and I need to ask him to be specific, right, and be sure. But it seemed like he was looking inside and trying to, like, redirect the DB and then breaking out. But, like, when you're going against that type of defense where, you know, it's kind of a man zone type of thing and the DBs are buzzing back with the receiver running the clear out, just get to your spot. You know, and that's something that Chris Sanders and I talked about, yeah, on Run TMC. Just get to your spot. You don't have to do all that. Just get to your spot. And I think that's just kind of not inexperienced, but just not having worked the concept before. And that's what came out, that he hadn't run that route before. So there's good and there's bad, but just the ability to adjust, I think that was good. Now, obviously, you know, there were some decisions, the 4th and 3, like, come on, man.
Yeah, and talking with Corey Curtis about that yesterday, I had less of a problem with kicking it on 4th down than running it on 3rd and then kicking it on 4th down. Yeah. Like, this is the second time in the last few weeks where it feels like they did not know what they wanted to do on 4th down when they made the 3rd down play call. Mm-hmm. Like, if you know you're kicking it on 4th down, give your quarterback a chance to go make a play and get the 1st down.
Exactly.
If you're going to run it on 3rd down, that usually is a sign that we're ready to go for it on 4th down,
exactly,
if we have to.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Is like you said, if you're running on 3rd down, you know, that means that, you're going to go for it on 4th.
Right.
And right? Because it wasn't a matter where, hey, look, like, we got to run it and get in the middle of the field because the kicker, you know, he wants to. No. It was a matter of go get it. This team – the biggest lead they've had this whole season is 7 points. You're on the 28-yard line. Their 28-yard line. You got a chance to get a touch, you know, drive for a touchdown,
yeah, yeah,
get
yeah.
into the red zone and get a 10-point lead, which would have been your biggest lead of the
right.
year, which in itself is atrocious, and you don't go get it. What you got to lose? Like Cam said after the game, we're 1-9. Like, what you got to lose?
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's – the lack of aggressiveness from this team has just been astounding at times because, again, you're right, you're 1-9. If you come away with no points on that drive, does it make as much of a difference in the long scheme of things? Let your quarterback go try and make a play, and that's what I'm confused about because, again, it was the same thing in the Colts game where it felt like they were playing for, we are not going to find a way to not get 3 points here. We are going to get 3 points, and it's like, you don't need 3. You're not going to win the game with 3.
Yeah.
You need to get touchdowns at some point.
Right.
And I'm racking my brain trying to figure out when the Titans led by 7 points.
I think it was 2 weeks. No, was it the Patriots?
Was it the Chargers? Oh, it was the Chargers game.
The Chargers game.
They
I
had
think
the pick
Patriots
six
game too.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah. Yes. The Chargers game, they had the pick six, they led 7-0, and then the Chim Dike punt return, they led 14-7.
Yeah.
So, there you go. I was like, man, I cannot think of a single time the Titans led by a touchdown this year. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland is called in. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I can appreciate you, TD, for putting out the good vibes, man. We all need it.
Yes, sir.
Here's the thing. So, if you... All right, I heard them in the last show talking about maybe they should run RPO. We would have an illegal man downfield every single play. Like, we are not smart enough for that, number one. But I want you to do an activity with me, and you can both do that if you would, please.
Yes.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Okay, so take Patrick Mahomes and put him on the Titans and tell me how many wins he has. And then take our quarterback, Cam, and put him on the Chiefs. Tell me how many wins he has. I think that should be able to answer a lot of the questions of what's wrong, man, because I'm hearing so much Cam hate right now, and it makes my blood pressure numbers, like, unhealthy. So I'm like, well, take him and put him on the Rams, and I bet you he does a lot better. And then take Matthew Stafford and watch him get killed after 2 games. Like, I don't know. I want you guys to at least look at that.
No, That is a great point, Adam. It's a great point. Like, looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
Right? And the staff, the support, it's not there. His receiver. Look at his receivers in it. Like Van Jefferson, Mason Kinsey,
James Prochet. It looks like Jim DK might play this week, thankfully.
But I'm just saying, in that game, like, no slight on those guys, because much respect. Hey, you're in the NFL. You're of the 1%. Like, let's not get it messed up. But what I'm saying is, comparatively speaking, it's not the same as having a Puka Nacua. Right?
Yeah.
It's not the same as having a Travis Kelce. You know, it's not the same as Sam Darnold having Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I know, like, this week with the Seahawks coming here, to Adam's point, you know, there's a lot of, if you had Darnold, man, right now everybody would be like, really depressed. Because Sam Darnold has shown before that he's not capable of carrying a cast. Sam Darnold is someone that you could build around, and Clint Kubiak, my goodness, has done a great job doing that.
Yeah.
Play action and doing all that stuff and emphasizing Smith and Jigman. We could get into that later, but you have to have everything in place for Sam Darnold to excel.
Yeah, and with Sam Darnold, I've said it before that my biggest hesitation with bringing in Sam Darnold was, what's that going to do for you?
Right.
You're going to win 6 games this year, maybe. Yeah, right. It's better than 1 or 2 that you're going to win with Cam Ward, but it's not like Sam Darnold is going to come out and make you a Super Bowl contender with the roster that you currently have. And you're going to have to spend a ton of your cap space on Sam Darnold. I know you have a lot, and it's not going to strap you, but you have a quarterback on a rookie contract who has a much higher ceiling than Sam Darnold. Will he reach that ceiling? We have no idea. And right now, it hasn't looked good. But you draft Cam Ward because you want to eventually win a Super Bowl. I think you know that Sam Darnold will never win you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say he'll never win you a Super Bowl. Your chances are a little – because you have to – so you know what Sam Darnold is, right?
Right.
And it's one of those things where, okay, you got door number one where, okay, I go through door number one and I know I'll get $2,000 a week for a full year. I go through door number two and there's a potential – to get $1 million for the full year, and it's like, or get $500 a week for a full year, and it's like, I want to take that chance at $1 million.
Right.
And that's what they're doing in going with Cam as the number one pick as opposed to a $100 million deal on Sam Darnold.
Right, because the goal of the NFL is to win the Super Bowl, and that's always the point that I've tried to make is, you've done the veteran quarterback who, with the right cast around him, can get you close. That was Ryan Tannehill. Sam Darnold could be your Ryan Tannehill, and maybe you get back to being good faster because you could have traded the pick and you could have added more assets. But with Cam Ward, you're going to need a star quarterback to win a Super Bowl. In the AFC, you need a star quarterback to compete with Allen and Jackson and Mahomes and Burrow and Herbert and all these guys that you're going to have to beat in the playoffs.
Right.
Sam Darnold's never going to be that. We know what Sam Darnold is. Cam Ward, right now, he's not that. But he has the potential to get
there.
And that's why you go young at number one instead of signing a veteran quarterback.
And that P word, coaches hate that P word. And,
right.
You know, they'll always tell you, son, your potential is going to get me fired. You know, and that's actually what happened.
That's what happened with Brian Callahan, with Will Levis and Cam Ward.
It's not all like rainbows and butterflies. There's collateral damage that comes with taking this risk that this organization has. And
we've
seen it already.
And we've seen that with tons of young quarterbacks, and Cam Ward could be the next in a long line of bad first-round picks at quarterback. But it's way too early to make that decision.
And that's not to say that you don't have to. You got to build around Cam Ward, too. Just the same, you got to build around Sam Darnold. But it's like the foundation has the potential to be bigger than what – and again, it goes back to the known commodity versus the potential great commodity. And that's what you're banking on.
And it's a small percentage of fans out there. I know it's not even close to maybe even 10%, but I've heard people saying if the Titans get the first overall pick, they should consider taking another quarterback.
And man,
you know how valuable the number one pick is? And you used it on a quarterback last year. Go take advantage of the other ways that the number one pick can be valuable, whether that's a blue chip player at edge rusher or hopefully not a tackle, but – or you can trade back.
Go ahead and trade back.
Cam Ward is going to be the starting quarterback here for at least this year and probably the year after that, or at least next year and probably the year after that too. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, Jeffrey Simmons had comments postgame. We've talked about them this week, but wanted to get TD's thoughts on the feeling in the Titans locker room right now, because clearly there are some guys, the veterans, who are feeling like some of the younger guys maybe aren't pulling their weight at this point. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1-2-5 the game. That was Jeffrey Simmons after the game on Sunday. Tired of sugarcoating it after the Titans fall to 1-9 against the Texans in Week 11. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. TD, you were in the locker room on Sunday after that game, and you could tell from Jeffrey Simmons' comments, from Arden Key's comments, that clearly there is, it's not all sunshine and roses in the locker room right now, and who would expect it to be at 1-9. What's your feeling right now around this Titans team where the veterans, I wouldn't say are calling out the young guys, but, you know, kind of trying to put the guys on notice who may not be giving their best effort week in and week out?
Yeah, I mean, I think the feelings, the emotions, they're necessary. And you look, it's not too many guys on that team, in that building, that work harder than Jeffrey Simmons. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you look at the play that he brings to the table on Sundays. I mean, this dude was out, what, four games? Three games. Came back, and it was like he hadn't missed a beat. You know, got a sack, was getting pressures.
Yeah.
You know, even you felt his impact on Tavondre Sweat, right? There was a screen, and I'm so glad Denard Wilson mentioned it yesterday or Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
There was a screen, and Sweat was on this side, on the right side. It was a screen to the left. That 366-pound man ran down that screen on the other side. Small things like that are things that you look at and you say, that's effort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there are guys putting out effort, younger guys, but when you have three false starts, right? When you know, of course, he didn't give up any pressures. We're talking about J.C. Latham.
Yeah.
You know, he was helped. He got chips and help a lot. But, you know, at some point, like, you got to step up. And live up to where you were drafted. Live up to the expectations that are placed on you. I'm not saying J.C. Latham is the only guy that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons was talking about, but I think that's a good example. You know what I mean? And I remember earlier this season, I want to say leading into the Patriots week, right?
Right. Well,
I remember Jeff and J.C., like, they had a conversation. And
right,
when
that
I
was
say conversation,
that Jeffrey Simmons stopped practice, right?
Right, yeah. Right. So they're on the tablet looking at that in the locker, and they're having a conversation about that. You know what I mean? So, like, this outburst, if you want to call it that, on Sunday, it's built up. You know what I mean? And you know what happens when pressure and things build up? It pops. And I guess you could say it kind of popped on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you could read between the lines of, we can't have three false starts. We have to protect Cam. You could kind of tell who he was talking about there. Mm-hmm. And with J.C. Latham, that's a guy that needs to be a foundational piece of this team.
Yes.
You take a guy seventh overall at tackle, that should be – you'd prefer your left tackle, but it should be one of your tackles for the next decade. And J.C. Latham, although showed flashes, he has not been good enough, especially this year since he's come back from injury.
Yeah, and look, man, like, he, to whom much is given, much is desired.
Yeah.
Right? J.C. Latham was blessed with size, athletic ability, and work ethic. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's lazy. J.C. Latham worked his behind off to come back in a different shape than how he was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This dude was like 350. You know what I mean? He's a smooth 320, 330 range now. That doesn't come without effort.
Right.
But what that does come with are expectations. And so that's why a Jeffrey's – if J.C. Latham was a bum, these guys wouldn't be getting on him like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily a slight on him. It's like, man, I know you could do more. Give me more. Give me what you're capable of, and that's why these guys are upset.
Do you think the injury has a lot to do with this of, hey, he did work so hard in the offseason, and you get out there for game one, and he did struggle against Nick Benito when he was out there, and then you have the hip injury and have to go back and do all this rehab. Do you think it maybe was just frustration and he hasn't channeled that the right way since he's come back?
I think there's frustration there, without a doubt. And remember, like, this is a guy, like, we were talking about it in the media room. This is a guy, like, he probably lost more these last 2 years than he lost in all of college and all of high school.
Yeah. Right?
IMG Academy, you're not losing many games.
Right.
Alabama, under Nick Saban, you're not losing many games.
Yeah.
So this is a new challenge for him, right? This is something, a new form of adversity. So maybe it's going to take him a little bit longer to navigate these muddy waters than another guy who maybe had to struggle as a group a little bit more. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
we'll see. But, I mean, the bottom line is he absolutely has to play better.
Period. He does. He does. And, again, he has to be a part of the solution for this team. And just like we talk about with Cam Ward, you're not giving up on J.C. Latham yet. Like, he was drafted with the 7th overall pick. You're going to give him the opportunities to work his way back, but it definitely has not been good enough through the first half of his second year. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines. Trey is called in. Trey, have you sorted out the calculations yet on 600 hours?
Yes. It's 600 minutes.
There you go. Yep.
How y'all doing this morning?
Doing
awesome.
Great,
how are you?
Good. Hey, thank y'all for the good energy. Hey, I just want to say that I think it's more internal, meaning, you know, it's all in Cam's head. You know, everybody say that he has the ability. I believe that he has the ability. And I just think that if he does better, then the team will do better. If he does bad, then the team is going to be bad. But it all falls back on Cam Ward. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Trey.
It does fall back on Cam Ward, and it is a mental thing. And obviously, you know, there's been some progress. But, you know, I agree with Trey. It's a mental thing, and it's also a patience thing. You know, you go on the timeline, social media, and you got actual – media people calling this guy a bust, and it's just like, it's so reckless and so careless,
right,
and misguided. This dude is not a bust. We're 10 games into his rookie season. Like, come on, man. I understand that you grew up on microwave dinners.
Yeah.
But a slow-cooked meal is better. Allow this thing to you know, to bake and give it time before you just call it a bust.
Yeah, I mean, Again, we've always heard 20 games is what you need from a rookie quarterback. I think you won't be able – I will not use the word bust until halfway through his second year. If Cam gets through this year and continues to struggle, goes through the whole offseason, and goes 6-7 weeks into his rookie year – or his sophomore year, and he's still not making strides, then I think you could maybe start to say, all right, that was a bust of a pick. But we're not there yet. We're not even close to there yet. And it's tough to see people calling for an open competition next year. And the response is like, why should Cam Ward be scared of competition? I'm like, you don't put that on your quote-unquote franchise quarterback. Like, you don't put Will Levis or whoever you're going to bring in looking over his shoulder. Now, I think bringing in a better veteran quarterback behind him may be good, but you don't take away half of his reps when you're trying to develop this young quarterback in training camp next year. Like, you don't do that. You don't say, hey, we're going to take half of these valuable reps for you with the first team and give them to this guy who we brought in off the streets, or to Will Levis, who we decided not to trade for some reason.
Yeah, you don't do that. I think, you know, if you're going to bring in a veteran, you know, a Jameis Winston is a good one. You know, again, and we talked about this, the relationship, right, the pushing him and showing him how to be the pro.
Right.
Showing him, you know, how to handle some of the pressures of being a number one pick, right, and things not going right, and still weathering that storm. He's done it. I mean, yeah, has Jameis Winston's career been, you know, has it correlated to what you want from a number one pick? No.
Yeah.
But the guy's had a productive career. He led the league in passing 1 year. Interceptions, too. But still, you know what I mean? I think he would be a good option. So, yeah, you want a guy that's going to push him, right? But you don't want somebody where if things go – because, you know, in a lot of cities, the most popular person in the city is the backup quarterback, right? And you don't want that situation.
Look at Cleveland right now. Shador getting his first start on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We'll see how he looks. I mean, it was tough on Sunday, but he gets a full week of prep this week, and facing the Raiders, he has to deal with big old Mad Max on the outside, but not much else with that Raiders defense. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your phones and much more on the other side. TD is with us for the full show today. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Sam Houston this Saturday at 2 o'clock. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 the game. Next man up, 102.5 the game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this TD Thursday. Your chance to talk to TD coming up at 10 a.m. Get your questions in 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teddy is on the line. Teddy, thanks for waiting. What you got for us today?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Man, I know that CD playing that Fantasia in the background, man.
Hey, nah, you know what? That's Parker. But you know that Fantasia, you already know that's a bopper.
Hey, Parker, shout out to you. I didn't know you had that in your bag.
Yeah. And listen, Teddy, that was unsolicited. Unsolicited. He put that
you
on.
Sure?
Yeah, that's, man, look, that's my quarterback.
Hey, he letting that thing up too from you, CD. But, yeah, man, by the way, guys, so I called in to talk about the fact that, you know, every week, regardless of whatever is shown out there, man, I see this quarterback growing somehow. Somehow I see this quarterback keep growing, keep getting better, and keep improving. And I'm getting sick and tired of these media people, like you said, man, even saying Cam Ward is a bust, let's move on from him. Like, I always keep saying, what happened to patience? If we look at some of the greatest quarterbacks that have played that we all admire and talk about, it did not happen over one season. You know, and I'm even thankful that they didn't have social media back then, because I wonder what some people would be calling some of these quarterbacks, you know. But it's just the era that we are in now, so we have to deal with it. But once again, if you look at any quarterback that came and had an exceptional rookie season, anything that follows after that has been struggles and ups and downs and things like that. Not saying they wouldn't get out of it, but it's always been struggles for the most part. So what I'm saying is, let's have patience, man. Because one thing I would hate is for us to push this, not build around this guy and watch him go somewhere and tear this league apart. Mm-hmm. That would hurt, man. Because I believe in this guy. That, like you said, that's my quarterback, man. I truly believe in him. Like, he has a mental makeup. You know, he has the hard work. He has the grit. He has everything that shows that he can be a great quarterback, which even if you have that doesn't mean you will be. But him having that is a plus, man. He has to go out there and show it. So I believe, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. He keeps getting better, man, and he's going to keep getting the better coach around him and doing everything that we have to do right as an organization, man. We will be better, man. Every night, I went from Sundays being so sad to, man, I can't wait to watch Cam on this next drive. So, yeah. You know, one thing is, let's just keep believing and supporting this team, man, and we will see greatness soon. That's what I had to say, guys.
Thanks for the call, Teddy. That's a great call.
Have a great one.
And to his point, right, it doesn't always have to be something that's just so flashing lights.
Right.
Type of glaringly obvious type of improvement.
Yeah, he's not going to come out and immediately throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns. Like, it's got to be slow progression from Cam Ward.
And also, to his other point, Jahi Ward on Monday, like, if you haven't seen it, anyone, go back and look at his press conference, because he says some very, very profound things.
I control the grass, is that what?
Oh, he said that. I was like, yeah, I like that comment. But no, the one that I liked that he said was about adversity, right? And he said, it's going to come to you at some point. Whether it's early, in the middle, or late, you're going to have adversity. And in this case, the adversity is coming to Cam Ward early. And I'm a true believer in preparation, right? And taking a loss and making it a lesson. And that's something that he has said before, right? And look, this is a tough situation. Yeah, they won one game, you know, and it's terrible. But this is where the foundation is starting to be built. And then to get back to the Sam Darnold thing, right, because Nick Suss, he wrote a very good story. And I watched him work this, right? I watched him work it, and I'm like, what is this dude writing about? Like, I really want to know, because I'm watching him go from He did a great job. Nick Suss, if you're not following him and you're not reading the Tennessean, check him out. Nick, I want to check for that too. But besides, he did a story about why ownership or the front office went to Sam, stayed away from a veteran quarterback like Sam Darnold, right? And it was basically, okay, they didn't want to win seven games. So naturally, you have people in the media who have zero context or zero ability to conceptualize what is being said. It's like, well, you won one game, so
seven's bigger than one.
The concept and the understanding is, hey, with a guy like Sam Darnold, you're going to be stuck in mediocrity unless you are able to put everything together around him.
And you didn't have anything to
and
put around him.
You don't have anything, right? But if you have him, you're going to – and even a lot of times with – because let's face the facts. Like the Vikings last year, that's a forgettable season. I know they were good regular season, but you saw what happened in the last game, right?
Yeah.
Peed down his leg. You saw what happened in the playoffs. Had to change his underwear because he crapped his pants. You see what I'm saying? So the thing is, a guy like Sam Darnold is a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's going to be good enough to stay there and keep you from being able to get a guy that could potentially push you over the top.
Yeah.
And that's the reasoning. So, yes, seven games is more than one, but at the same time, one with the potential in the future to win more is better.
And I don't want people to think I'm saying Cam Ward is going to be Patrick Mahomes when I say
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
But a good comparison is the Chiefs under Alex Smith. Sam Darnold could be your Alex Smith.
Come on
and he,
now.
And yes, he could get you back to being a decent team. And maybe you make the playoffs a couple of times. But you're going to lose in the playoffs because there are better quarterbacks. Alex Smith ran into Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or whoever it was every single year, and he lost.
Mm-hmm.
They got their Patrick Mahomes, and now they've won three Super Bowls. It's like it. The goal is to win Super Bowls. The goal is not to win nine games. And when Titans fans, when this team was winning nine games, it became not good enough, right? Like when you got to the playoffs and lost, it was not good enough. Do you want that again with Sam Darnold? No. And I'm not saying Cam Ward's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but you got to take a chance to try and find your Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
They took that chance on Cam Ward.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly. And someone had asked in the chat, like, what progress has the caller seen in Cam Ward, Lance? And I appreciate you asking that question. I think a good example is more decisiveness.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, and if you want, like, a stat to show that, 2.9 seconds was the average time to throw for him.
Yeah.
2.6 in this game, right? And even Mike McCoy touched on it. Cam touched on it. And what I really like about the situation is Cam talked about while he was away wanting to focus on taking the easy plays.
Yeah.
You're taking the easy plays when you're getting the ball out of your hand
right.
a little bit quicker.
And the completion percentage has steadily gone up since the beginning of the season.
So that's an example. And like it goes back to the Kobe saying, right, you know, if you could get incrementally better 1% each time, over time you're going to be 100% better. Now, you're going to be 100% better overall? No, but 100% better in a particular area, which collectively builds into just being better, period. So I think that's the improvement.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, get your questions in for TD. Your chance to talk to TD coming up at the top of the hour. There is one text on the text line, and I didn't want to get into this today, but I've got to finally we're going to say one more thing on Will Levis, and then I'm done talking about Will Levis because he's not relevant around here anymore. Nothing against Will Levis, but he is not going to be on this team next year, and we got a text about it. I want to finally just end the Will Levis discussion. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans game at Nissan Stadium this Sunday? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 1025 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks and Old National Bank. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. TD stepped out for a second. He'll be back shortly. Did want to get into one text, but again, a reminder, your chance to talk to TD is coming up in 10 minutes. We'll get to all of your questions. You can text or call at 615-737-1025. So we had a texter, 8519, texted in, said, I'm not trying to go through another year of terrible football. Should have traded the pick for draft assets. I thought this team was supposed to be good, and it was all Levis's fault for bad football last year. Right. I'm tired of the Will Levis talk. I really am. Because people are acting like we're making excuses for Ward that we didn't make when Will Levis was here. But go back and listen. And TD and I did a show all of last year on Friday nights for an hour on 102.5 The Game. And if you went back and listened to any of them through about mid-December, our conversations on Will Levis were the same exact conversations we're having about Cam Ward of here's the progress he showed this week. And after the games against the Vikings and the Chargers and the Commanders, I believe, he was showing progress. And we were saying, hey, if Will Levis is just average the rest of the way, he's going to be the starting quarterback next year, which didn't look like it was going to be the case early in the season. And then the Bengals game happened where he just completely imploded on himself, turned the ball over like, what, four times in that game, and got benched. And it felt over at that point. Yeah. He had started 20 games in his career. It felt over. You gave him an opportunity, and he was starting to show progress, and it didn't work out. He's a second-round pick who they didn't invest a whole lot in, and he got almost a year and a half. You had the number one pick. You had a chance to take a quarterback. You moved on from Will Levis.
That's the point right there, Jake. That is the point right there where you land in a situation where you have the opportunity to get someone with more potential, right? Had they not gotten the number one pick, I think there's a good chance Will Levis is still the quarterback. I think there's a very good chance he's still the quarterback.
That's what we talked about of, hey, if you're picking five or six and Will Levis is still showing a little bit of promise, give him another year. That is exactly what we were saying. There was no bashing Will Levis and saying it's all his fault, but he didn't show enough down the stretch. You had the number one pick and a chance to make a perceived upgrade by the front office's standards, and they did it.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the bottom line. But it's just so this whole idea that if you talk positively about one thing, you have to talk negatively about another thing related is crazy. Right. Like, you could have a positive, balanced approach to both situations.
Yeah.
Right? But there's this, like, Will Levis versus Cam Ward situation that I don't think it's right. I think you could say both guys have potential, but one has a little more potential, and also one showed you a little bit more warts than the other over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
That's really the bottom line. Now, if they have the number one pick, you know, 2027 going into
– Right.
Is
That's a more comparable situation.
That's a more – right.
If Cam Ward – is in a similar situation as Will Levis was at the end of last year, where it's like, the talent's there, but he hasn't shown us enough, and you have the number one pick, I think you do take a quarterback first overall in 2027.
Yeah, and it also depends on the who's there.
And if you have the first overall pick in 2027, clearly things are not going well with Cam Ward.
Exactly. So, look, it's a very difficult situation, and a lot of times, like, with all of this frustration comes unreasonable takes and things like that. And it's just one of those, look, man, it's going to take a while to get this thing back on track. And I think it's also going to take some stability, some consistency.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I've said. It's like, you can't have the revolving door of people. It's Borgonzi, new head coach, Cam Ward. You're on the same timeline. If one of you fails, all of you fail.
Right.
Like, you've all got to be in lockstep.
Flush it all down the toilet if it doesn't work.
It can't just be, well, the new head coach came in, the next guy we're blaming is Borgonzi because he picked Ward. And then after that, we're going to get rid of Ward and bring in a new quarterback. If he doesn't work out, it's the head coach. Mm-hmm. Put them all on the same timeline, on the same equal playing field, and if one of them fails, they all fail, and you clean house.
Yep, bottom line.
The Will Levis stuff, I'm done talking about Will Levis because he is not going to be on the team next year. And I approached Levis and Ward the exact same way. Last year, we had the same people giving up on Will Levis after the first 2 weeks. And I was preaching patience, saying he's a young quarterback. He's only made 11 starts. Let's give him a chance to improve. And he didn't show enough progress, and you had the number one pick. You don't get the number one pick very often with a chance to take what you believe is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Titans believed in Cam Ward. They took him. I'm sorry. Any ideas of Will Levis being in the Titans equation moving forward are nonsense. Levis is going to be either traded to anyone who wants to give him a chance, or he's going to be released. He is not going to be on the team next year.
And I'm going to tell you this, right? This struggle is good for the Titans and good for Will Levis. Because you look at it and you say, I mean, of course, like last year at the supporting cast, you had a better Tony Pollard, right?
Yeah.
You had a Calvin Ridley for you know, a season.
You had like DeAndre Hopkins for half the year.
Like, you had a better supporting cast. But you could look at what's going on now and be like, you know what, maybe this guy is better than what he put on tape.
I agree.
Because look at this mess right now. You know, so it's good, and that should push his trade value up. I mean, I would imagine, you know, a fourth round pick is probably what you should be able to get for Levis.
And I hope, so.
You know, I think that's good compensation.
Well, and people also, I've seen the comparisons of like first nine games for Cam Ward versus first nine games for Will Levis. You know who was playing on the team for the first nine games of Will Levis?
Who?
Derrick Henry. Does that make things easier for a rookie quarterback when you have Derrick Henry in the backfield with you?
Very much so. I asked Cam about a better run game and how it helps a rookie quarterback. So, yeah, that's universally accepted.
5102 asked, does that mean you are also done with mayonnaise? If so, I'd wait till after Thanksgiving so you can get more rounds of deviled eggs. I don't know. Maybe I'll maybe I'll give mayonnaise a chance still for Will Levis. We'll see.
What about the cologne?
Oh, yeah, the Mayo cologne. I forgot about that.
I'm not going to lie, man. That cologne, I don't use it for cologne, but I use it like as an air freshener.
Oh.
It makes the, like, wherever you spray it, it smells like a resort. It gives me a resort vibe.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I wanted to get that as, like, a white elephant Christmas gift last year. And by the time Christmas rolled around, Will Levis wasn't good enough to buy that. So
stank on it.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. It is now your time to talk to TD. Get your questions in. 615-737-1025. We will get to all of your thoughts, all of your questions. And again, doesn't have to be Titans related. It could be anything for TD. We're giving you the next two segments. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. The Monday Night matchup is the Panthers against the 49ers. First hour in the books on this TD Thursday. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.